welcome to careful consideration of our common concerns. I'm Dr. Ted Noel. This week, one item of particular interest crossed my desk, and this was the announcement by Elon Musk's company Neuralink that they had implanted their first device into the brain of a study participant. Now, it's interesting that this has created a firestorm in some corners with regard to whether this is evil, somehow it's mind control, etc. And we have to admit that pretty much anything that you do can be used for good or for evil, and it doesn't really make a lot of difference what you are looking at. Anything can be used for good or for evil. So when we start to look at things, we can say, well, there are radio waves that we use for transmitting information, for music, for talk shows, for whatever. And those are used for good. But if in the proper circumstances, you can put a person into a room with the appropriate radio waves, and you can affect their moods rather strongly. The Russians did a lot of experimentation on this in years past and found that it can be done. It doesn't mean it is being done. And we hear all kinds of people arguing about, oh my goodness, we've got the stations for 5G telephony that are causing problems and so on. So all of this kind of, well, it might happen, it may be, you know, nonsense, uninformed yelling and screaming is being used to propagate opinions. And on this, I particularly think of Mike Gallagher, who is actually one of my favorite commentators on the Salem Radio Network. A couple of days ago, just went nuts about how horrible this is. And I have to say, wait a minute, Mike, you are completely uninformed. What is going on with Neuralink is actually a progression of a technology that, to my knowledge, was first started in 2008. And the basic idea was people with various neurologic deficits can find those deficits reversed or at least made less awful by various neural implants. For example, you can use a neural implant to allow someone to move an otherwise paralyzed arm, let's say. Those things happen, they're real, and they make things better. There's nothing except the attempt to help people overcome medical problems. And fairly recently, there was a retinal implant, which actually took signals from the retina of otherwise blind persons and transmitted them to the occipital cortex, where you actually do your seeing. And they were able to create very limited but actual visual effects, which were good for allowing these people to move about with safety instead of being totally impaired in sight. So this stuff's been going on. And all that Elon Musk's company is doing is saying, we have advances in technology that will allow us to do a better job of this. And the current version essentially uses a small camera, goes to a computer processor similar to a cell phone, and then sends it to an implant, which now instead of the 64 dots that the original did. There's thousands, and the next generation will be an order of magnitude bigger than that. And the idea is that we can create images that allow a blind person to see something which is useful. And as progress continues, we learn more, the technology gets better, we may be able to simulate sights by this technique. At present, yes, it is a signal going into the brain, but its purpose is to alleviate an injury, a defect, a physical problem. And this is good. So don't let anybody scream all kinds of evil are happening by Elon Musk. Not at all. This is just simply the progress of technology in alleviating physical difficulties. The other piece of news I know you've heard about, and that's the $83 million verdict against Donald Trump for defamation of E. Jean Carroll. And this is the second time they've dinged him, and both cases are being appealed. The first thing you have to understand is that just because you want to appeal doesn't mean that you have any basis for an appeal. In order to understand the question of basis, we have to have a certain basic understanding of our legal system. And this works something like this. A trial court is known as the trier of fact. That is, the judge, the jury, and all of that work together to say what did happen. And evidence is presented, it's cross-examined, and ultimately the jury says, this happened. Well, then you have to say, if the trier of fact got it wrong, did he get it wrong because it got it wrong, which happens about 10% of the time? Yeah, I mean, you can have a perfect case and the jury comes against you about that often for their own reasons. O.J. Simpson comes to mind. But at the same time, when you're looking at an appeal, you have to say, did the judge run the trial in a way that made it impossible for you to do your job in presenting your case? And we have to look at the Sixth Amendment on this. Now, the Sixth Amendment is written with regard to criminal law. And frankly, I'm not certain whether this case was taken as criminal or civil because you're looking at damages, and that's a civil issue. But it says that the accused shall be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. This has found its way in as the law in civil cases as well. And Donald Trump had counsel for his defense. We're all familiar with the death penalty cases where somebody says, I had ineffective assistance of counsel. And then the court has to look and say, did the trial attorney really screw up? And that happens. We're not going to say it doesn't. It does happen, and that's just the way it is. So we have to argue about whether the judge screwed things up if we're going to appeal. And this is what's called reversible error. Did the judge do something that made it impossible for the trier of fact to hear all of the evidence? And in the E. Jean Carroll cases, he did. But we will get to that in just a moment, because there's another issue here. Donald Trump did not know or say anything about E. Jean Carroll until she accused him of rape. At which point he said, no, I didn't. And he probably called her a liar, which is fine. Basically, it's part of the saying that I didn't do it. Every defense comes with the basic statement of I didn't do it. Well, the state of New York made saying I didn't do it defamation. They violated the First Amendment. You are free to call somebody else a liar by way of saying I didn't do what you said I did. And that's pretty straightforward. There's not a thing that anybody can argue with there. But they then took the I didn't do it, she lied, and turned it into defamation. Well, on First Amendment grounds, that case should be thrown out. And hopefully, Alina Haba, who is Trump's attorney, will be able to go through that and take that part of the argument down. If that's the case, both cases disappear. But the judge did a whole bunch of other things. And Alina Haba stood outside the courtroom and did a presser where she pointed out that the judge immediately disqualified, well, first of all, he declared Trump guilty from the beginning, disqualified her expert witnesses, refused to let her have witnesses for the defense. And so what you ended up with was E. Jean Carroll said, he raped me. And she had no witnesses whatever to the event. She also had certain pieces of her story that just don't work. For example, she was in Bergdorf Goodman, which is a high-end retail store in New York, which has security guards everywhere, which has monitors who are checking on the try rooms where you would try clothes on. And the presence of Donald Trump, who was very, very famous, even back at the date that was supposedly in question, would have been obvious had he gone into a dressing room without her. And incidentally, their dressing rooms lock. Guarantee it. So he would have to find a key to get in. You can unlock them from inside, like your bathroom. But if they're locked, sorry, nobody's getting in without a key. And it would have been very obvious if he was there and had gotten a key and gotten in. But there were no witnesses. There's no video surveillance, which those stores had, to show that anything happened. And then the story gets curiouser and curiouser. There are some very, very key points here. E. Jean Carroll said she was trying on lingerie. Trying on lingerie? Have you ever been to a store where they let you try on underwear? I didn't think so. The health rules do not allow you to try on lingerie because you can soil it, make it unfit for some other person to use. It just simply cannot be done. If you donate lingerie to Goodwill, they will launder it before it's ever put in a place where anybody else can get to it. That's the facts. She said she was trying on lingerie. Well, that's a lie, pure and simple. Then she said she was wearing a particular Donna Karan outfit. Well, she didn't remember whether the event happened in 1994, 95, or 96. Her story kept changing. That alone says she's not a credible witness. But she was wearing this particular Donna Karan outfit. Well, we know that that Donna Karan outfit did not exist in the year, by 1996. It came into the market sometime later than that. So we have solid information that she's a liar. But Alina Haba was required to submit her questions before she's able to ask them. This is not the way things are done. Donald Trump was not allowed to confront his witness. The cross-examination was not allowed to happen. She is a blatant liar. And what happened is that the judge, by refusing to allow Alina Haba to properly cross-examine Ms. Carroll, or to properly question Donald Trump. I mean, he said, I've got to know what the questions are. He edited the questions. And I got to know what the answers are going to be. And he edited the answers. Well, all that came into the record was the judge's story, not Donald Trump's story. And Trump's attorneys had witnesses that were going to come in as experts on certain things. And they were disqualified. In other words, the judge put his thumb on the scales rather firmly. Now, he committed what is called reversible error. And as Alina Haba said in her news conference, the judge basically wrote the appeal with his order, disallowing experts and requiring her to submit questions and answers. Put bluntly, she was not allowed to carry out a proper defense. This case almost certainly will get thrown out on appeal, and it should be thrown out on the grounds of First Amendment, but it should also be thrown out on the grounds of Sixth Amendment. So there you have it. An appeal only comes when either you have ineffective assistance of counsel, which is the common death row complaint, or you have a judge who committed reversible error, that he put his thumb on the scales of justice, making it impossible for the defendant to get a fair trial. It's just that simple.
Until next time, the message is what matters. I'm Dr. Ted Noel.